Today's daf is Yuma Daf Chof Gimel, and we are at the last line of Daf Chof Beis Amid Beis Amar Rab Yoichanan Mishum Rab Shimon Ben Yehoitzadon. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, Avadi Ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Devora Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Mordechai Tzvi Ben Fradel, Rafal Yaakov Ben Rachel Chava, David Ben Shoshana, Rafal Yitzchak Isaac Ben Rechama, and Miriam Bas Sara Dina. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus via Cheskel Shraga Ben Miral, and today's daf is being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Reb Tzvi Betzalel Ben Moshe Aaron, Devora Bas Shmuel, and Avram Ben Yibadol L'chaim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chayim. So yesterday we began the second perek of Mesechtes Yuma, which turned its attention from the days leading up to Yom Kippur to the Yom HaKadosh itself. And the perek begins discussing the Avodah of Trumas Hadeshen. And the reason is because the Avodah of Trumas Hadeshen was the first Avodah that was done on Yom Kippur. In fact, it was the first Avodah that was done every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah gives us a little bit of a history class. The Mishnah says, Barishoino, in the olden days, the way it was determined which Kohen would do the Trumas Hadeshen was simply by whichever Kohen arrived at the top of the ramp of the Mizbeach first. Meaning, what happened was, with time, many people decided that they wanted to be Toirin. As a result, there was a Maisa Shahaya Kachaya, where somebody was actually injured, running up to do the Trumas Hadeshen, and the Chachamim realized that maybe this is not a good idea. Hiskinu, they made a takana shloyu tarmin esam esbeach ela bepayis. That the way we're going to determine who does the Trumas Hadeshen is not whoever comes first, he gets to do it, but rather with a gairel. So what was the nature of the gairel? So the Mishnah gave us a little bit of a sneak preview. The Mishnah said that the kayanim that were interested in doing the avoda would line up, and they were told to stick out a finger. Hatzbiu. The Kohen would come up with a number. Rashi says it was a large number, much larger than the amount of Kohanim that were there. In fact, Rashi gives two examples, 60, 100. But regardless, the Kohen would come up with a number and he would start counting fingers. 1, 2, 3, 4. And whosoever finger landed on the magic number, the number that the Kohen had picked, he was the one that won the Geirel. He was the one that would end up doing the Trumas Hadeshen. And the Gemara asked the Kasha that if the objective of the pious is to count the Kohanim, why do we need fingers? Why couldn't the Kohanim line up, let the Kohen come up with a number, and let him start counting Kohanim? The Gemara said, Messiah, Leila Rav Yitzchak, this is a riot to what Rav Yitzchak said. Amr Rav Yitzchak, Asu Limnoi says Yisrael, Afilu Lidvar Mitzvah. Now let it count the Yid, Afilu Lidvar Mitzvah. What's the Makar? The Gemara said the Makar is Shaul HaMelech, because there were two times in history that Shaul HaMelech counted the Jews, and both times he didn't count the actual Yidden. Rather, what he did was he counted something that represented Yidden. The first time he counted shards of Klicheres, the second time, Vayifkedein Betloam, he counted sheep, Lilamedcho, became king in between, that if a person is Oilu L'Gdula, it comes with Ashiras. But the point is that Shaul HaMelech didn't count the Jews. This is because he held that it's usher to count Jews. This subtlety in the Mishnah, that the way the Kohanim were counted was by counting the fingers as opposed to the actual gufim, is a raya to this idea. Once the Gemara mentioned Shaul HaMelech, so the Gemara digressed a little bit, and the Gemara said that you want to know why Shaul HaMelech lost the Melucha? It's because of a cheshbon that he made when he was told to go kill out Amalek. The Gemara mentioned that reason of why Shaul HaMelech lost the Melucha, and the Gemara started mentioning other reasons why Shaul HaMelech lost the Melucha. He didn't have a kupa shal shiratzim. The last reason the Gemara said was, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, mipnei man nena shal, mipnei shemachal al kvoyde. It's because he didn't have enough shtalt. And as a Melech Yisrael, he should have been a little more sensitive to people not being pagay in his covid. Shaul HaMelech was Machal al kvoidai, it was considered a bad thing, and it's for that reason he lost the Melucha. So on that last note, we pick up the paper trail. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yoitzadik. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yoitzadik, Kol Talmud Chacham, She'ena Noikim Benoitik Kenachash, any Talmud Chacham that doesn't take revenge and he doesn't store hatred like a snake does, Einoi Talmud Chacham, he's not a Talmud Chacham. Now, this is very counterintuitive. You would think that a Talmud Chacham is someone that's not Noikim. You would think a Talmud Chacham is someone that's not Noiter. But Rabbi Yochanan said, I heard from Rabbi Shimon ben Yehoitzadik differently. I heard that a Talmud Chacham has to be Noik came the noiter tenachash. In fact, if you meet a Talmud Chacham and he doesn't have the mid of nekama, if you meet a Talmud Chacham and he's not noiter tenachash, ain't no Talmud Chacham. It's a haftacha that he's not a real Talmud Chacham. Right? How could that even be? Vaksiv, it's a pasuk in the Torah, lo yisikoyim ve lo yisitar. It's a pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim. These are lavin in the Torah. You expect the Talmud Chacham to be over lo yisasei in the Torah. So the Gemara gives an interesting answer, a rather technical answer. Ahu b'mamayim hu dechsev. The lav of lo yisikim ve lo yisitar is as it relates to monetary issues. However, as it relates to non-monetary issues, to the contrary, not only is there no loisaseh of loisikim veloisiter, but if you're a Talmud Chacham, you have to be noikim v'noiter. And if you're a Talmud Chacham that's not noikim v'noiter, ain't no Talmud Chacham. It's clear that you're not a Talmud Chacham. So, to Gemara, how do you know that? Meaning, what's the basis to say that loisikim veloisiter is dafka talking about a young imamin? It's a brais. Time to learn to the brais. Ezo nikimo. What's the definition of nikamo? Ve'ezo hi netiro. And what's the definition of loisiter? Says the Gemara. Something we all know. Nikimo. Someone goes over to his friend and he says, will you lend me your magal, your sickle? That's one of the tools that the farmer used. Amaloi. He told him, no, absolutely not. I will not lend you my magal. Macha, the next day, that person that didn't want to lend the magal, Amaloi went to the person and said, Hashileni kardumcha. He said, will you please lend me your kardum? Will you give me your hammer, your axe? Amaloi told him, Ini mashulcha, gedarach shalei ashaltoni. Seriously? Yesterday I wanted your sickle, you didn't give it to me. Now you expect me to give you your axe? Zuhi nekima. This is like Sikkim 101. You're taking revenge. I'm not going to lend you what you want because when I came to you, you didn't want to lend me what I wanted. What's the definition of Natir? So someone goes over to his friend and he says, me, would you lend me your kardum? Absolutely not. The next day, that person who said no, Amalei, went to the borrower and he said, Hashileni Chalukha, give me your shirt. Amalei, hey, lach, here you go. And then he added in a few parting words. He told him, Eini, meaning, I'm not like you. You didn't want to lend me, but I'm not like you. I have better midos. I'm more refined than you are. I'm going to lend it to you. That's also asr. And that reason that's asr is zuhi netira. That's what's known as netira. And what does netira mean? So Rashi over here and Rashi and Chumash says the same thing. Netira means to store. This person is clearly storing hatred inside of him. Second Rashi on the Amid. Zuhi netira shahadava shamur beliboy. For like hisicha midaita. He still has the sinner. Meaning, it's not so much what he said, but it's the fact that you're keeping the sinner inside of you. The end of the pasuk loisikam veloisita es bnei amecha v'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha. It's related to v'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha. And even the person that is a loisitar, even though at the end of the day he did the right thing, but he clearly has sin inside of him. How do you know? Because he gave him this whole postscript to what he did. He didn't just say, yeah, here you go, but he came with a little bit of sinner. But what do you see from here? You see that even though there's a loisase of loisikim veloisitar, but it's limited to inyanei mamon, and when we say that a Talmud Chacham, that's eni noikim venoite kenachash, eni Talmud Chacham, we mean when it wasn't money related. Meaning, if somebody didn't want to give you something monetary, you take nekama, you do loisitar, that's a problem. But let's say someone's mitzayah your goof, or if somebody chepes with you in another way, it's not money related and nothing to do with a sickle or a hatchet or a shirt, but it's more tsar ha-goof, it's more emotional, it's psychological, he chepes with you, whatever it is, maybe physically he hurt you. But the point is, in those instances over there, there's no isser of leisikim v'leisita. But the Gemara said, tsar ha-goof alai, is that true? There's no inyan of leisikim v'leisita when it comes to tsar ha-goof, so much so that a Talmud Chacham, it's the katchila for him to be noit v'nachash v'tani v'lun t'rabai, so and love him, they're in an oven. Shemim cherpasim, they're in a mashivim. There are people that are nelovim. They allow themselves to be barris, but they're in an oven. They don't respond. Shemim cherpasim, they hear their busha, they're in a mashivim, and they just listen. It's regarding them, the pasuk says, the point is, you see, that someone that allows someone else to chepa with him and he doesn't respond, it's a very big madrego. It's inconsistent with what Rabbi Yochanan said, that a Talmud Chacham, to the contrary, is supposed to be noikim v'noiter, albeit b'inyanim of tzar aguf. You have to say that the person himself is supposed to be quiet. Meaning, when we say v'ayav of kitzes Hashemesh b'gvurasoi, hanelovim v'in an omen, shol mecherpasav e meshivim, that's a madrego, that's you yourself, the person that was embarrassed, the person that someone chapped with, you're not supposed to respond. However, the third line from on top, it's g'day to see it inside, but v'in bo achar linkon nikmosa, but if somebody else wants to fight your fight, b'kiyum ha-mishpa yishtai, you should allow. So we're very much refining what Rabbi Yochanan meant. Meaning, when he said a Talmud Chacham should be noit of a nachash. It doesn't mean he himself should fight back, like we just said. That's a very big madrega. What it means is that if somebody wants to fight on your behalf, you're not going to do it. Someone's going to fight on your behalf, you should allow him to do it. The nachash, they believe it. You can keep it in your heart. Don't do anything about it. If somebody else wants to do something about it, that's okay. Rava said another problem. What happened to the idea of being maver al midosav? If someone's maver al midosav, mavir le'al kol pshav. So it's a very big madrega to just let it go. Don't even worry about it. Don't even keep it in your heart. Don't even want someone else to do it. So what's that all about? The Gemara says that means the mefayis ole mefayis. If someone comes and somebody is mefayis you, so then you should accept the pius. But otherwise, if the person never asked you mechila, he was never mefayis, you have no obligation to be mefayis. Regardless, the first part of the daf is really a very big chiddush in hanhogos of ben adam lechaveroi, specifically as it relates to a Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kol Talmud Chacham she'eno noikem v'noiter kenachash eno Talmud Chacham." Traditionally, we think of a Talmud Chacham as being marbim sholem ba'olam. Talmidei Chachamim marbim sholem ba'olam. This is almost the antithesis of that. A Talmud Chacham is supposed to be noikim v'noiter v'nachash. But again, you have to read the fine print, like the Gemara just qualified this halacha. Number one, if it's in Yoni Mamay, then there's a lav of loisikim v'loisitor. So clearly, this is only where it's negei tsar haguf. Number two, even then, you yourself, the Talmud Chacham, should never respond. When we say there's an idea of being noikin v'noitin k'nachash, it means you can keep the sinner inside of you and you can allow someone else to respond on your behalf. You yourself shouldn't respond. And then also, if the person himself asks you mechila, then there's an idea of kalam avra midoisav mavir le'al kol pesha. Before we go weiter, just one ha'ara, and that is, the Gemara said, kol Talmud Chacham she'eno noikin v'noitin k'nachash. What's this lashon of noikin v'noiter kenachash? So I saw the chidah in his sefer Pesach Einayim. He shtel su a gemara mesechtes tainus tavchesam and aleph. The gemara said Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said Maidichsev. What's pshat in the pasuk that says im yishoy chanachash beloy lachash the ein yisrael v'bal halashon. See, darshin the pasuk. Also, love. In the end of days, meskaptzoy subayis kol achayis etzal hanachash. All the animals of the animal kingdom are going to congregate and they're going to come to the snake. They're going to tell him as follows. Ari doiris va'oichel. And Ari, he tramples his prey and then he eats it. Zev toirei va'oichel. Ata ma'a no yesh lecha. What hana do you have? They're going to tell the nachash, you have no hana when you go after your prey. Amalem, he's going to tell them, true, but ve'en yisrom le'bal ha'loshen. What about the bal ha'loshen hara? Does the bal ha'loshen hara have any hana when he speaks loshen hara? What we need from this gemara is just one prat. Says the chidah, you see from here that the nachash has no hana when he attacks. The nachash has no hana when he goes after his prey. Said the chidah, a Talmud Chacham has a right to be noikin v'noiter kenachash. In fact, at certain times, if he's eino noikin v'noiter kenachash, he's eino Talmud Chacham. But it has to be like a nachash. He can't do it for personal hana. It has to be with a cheshvan of l'shem shemayim. Meaning, if he's doing it for personal hana, then he's wrong. But if he does it like the nachash, which nachash? Tainus tavchesam and aleph, where the nachash is mahana yesh lecha. Oh, then already he has a right to do it. It has to be like a snake. A snake is noikin v'noiter ba'onhana. And that's the way it has to be done. But the truth is, this whole Gemara is a pella. Because there's so many Gemaras in Shas where you find that the tzaddikim, they were mavra al midoseyim. Just one primary example is Hillel HaZaken. The Gemaras in Perek Mamem Adlikim, Mesach Shabbos Daf Lamed, where the Oilam was mamish going after Hillel on Erev Shabbos. They were trying so hard to raise on Hillel. They even waged a bet, 400 zuzim, whoever can get Hillel to be upset, and they couldn't do it. Hillel wouldn't budge. What happened? Hillel should have been noikin v'noite kenachash. And there are many other Gemaras that way. I mean, you learn this Gemara, you walk away. It sounds like unless the person asks you mechila, there's an inyan of keeping the tsar and the hate inside your heart. It's l'chura tsarach bir, and how does it reconcile with so many other Gemaras and Shas? And the truth is, the Rambam in the Yad Chazaka asks this question. The Rambam is in the end of Hilchas Talmud Torah. It's the very, very last halacha. It's Perek Zayin, halacha Yud Gimel. So the Rambam discusses the midos that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to have, And he says that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to have special midos. V'chein hoya derech chassidim arishoinim shoymim cherpasa v'enim ashivin. V'lo yoyd elu shem moichlin l'mechare v'solchin loy. V'chachamim gedoylam hoya mishtabchim v'maseim hanam. V'oymrim shemei oylam loy nidu adam v'leich rimu l'chvoydam. V'zui darkim shal tamid chachamim sheroi leilachva. Ram gives a whole shmooze about how a Talmud Chacham is supposed to have an hug of an adam l'chaveroi. That's next level. Zokter Rambam, here's the caveat. And this is the punchline. Poshim shan and awasugi. But medvar mamur, when is this true? Bishabizu oy cherfu b'seisa. That's only true if this busha, whatever was done to the Talmud Chacham, was done quietly. Aval Talmud Chacham, shabizu oy cherpo odom b'farhesir, osur loy limchol al kvoidoy. V'machal nenish, v'pneshiz ha'bizoyin ha'toyro, el unoykein v'noyter adover k'nochosh, ad shivakshu menem mechila v'yistachla. So the Rambam b'lashoyne Azov asked this question, and the Rambam said a major teretz. The Rambam said that our sugi is talking about where somebody went after the Talmud Chacham b'farhesia. If he went after him b'farhesia, then the Talmud Chacham has to be noykein v'noyter k'nochosh. And if not, he's not a Talmud Chacham. Why? Because that means he doesn't have a proper chesivas haTorah. It means he doesn't understand kavod haTorah, and he doesn't understand the terrible effects that can come from a bezoyin haTorah. So if he doesn't fight back, then it's a chesaron in Talmud Chacham. If he's doing it for his personal reasons, then why should he? And a chinami, says the Rambam, Hil Lazak, and all those maises, they were doing it for themselves. It wasn't a question of b'farhesi, it was a little maisa. So Memela Hil understood the right thing to do. He didn't budge, says the Rambam. Why nidu oysam? It pushed, it didn't budge them. It didn't move the needle. But when it's done b'farhesi, then fakir, you have to be loichim for kavod haTorah. And if you're not, to the contrary, it's a chesaron in the Talmud Chacham. Zok the Gemara weiter. Umahe moitzi and achas hashem. So the Mishnah said when it came to the Goyrol, so they used to, the Kohanim, stuck out of a finger. How many fingers? One finger or two fingers? Now we're going to see in the course of the next Gemara that really sticking out two fingers is a little bit b'di'evet. And the reason it's a little bit b'di'evet is because there was always a concern for a rami. What happens if the mamuna, the one that's counting, is going around the room and he starts counting, one, two, three, and the person realizes maybe that the person next to him, he's going to end up winning the gairo. So, a basic move, this is Ramos 101, he sticks out another finger, there's two fingers, and he's going to end up winning. Maybe the person's not going to chop that there was a second finger. So the whole second finger is a little bit b'di'evet, as is Mavur in the Gemaras that talk about these gairoles. But the Mishnah said, you can stick out one finger or two fingers. So the Gemara, hashta shtayim moitzin achas mi boy. If you can stick out two, you certainly can stick out one. Like we just said, two is a shtickle by the evet. So if you could do two for sure, you could do one. Amar Rav Chizda said like kasha kam bebari kam bechayla. A gazinta can only stick out one finger, but a chayla, someone that has a hard time sticking out one finger at a time, he's allowed to stick out two. The Gemara says, Vatanya, there's a brisa that supports this. Another example of a brisa that says clearly something that the Mishnah was a little bit unclear about. Achas moitzin. Shtayim ein moitzim. You can stick out one finger, not two. Edvar mamurim bebari. Aval b'chayla afilu shtayim moitzim. It's clear that a chayla can stick out two fingers. By yechidin moitzim shtayim. If someone is by himself, meaning you're not next to somebody else, you're in your own little island as it relates to where you're standing in this circle. So the halacha is you're allowed to stick out two fingers. Meaning there's no concern that there's going to be confusion for the mamuna. But ein moina mela achas. But when the mamuna counted, he only counted him as one. Faith the Gemara is that true? You're not allowed to stick out your shalish. That's your third finger, and the gudel is the thumb. Because that can bring liramos. You can stretch your fingers in a way where you're one person, but it's going to look a little like two. And let's say you did shalish gudel. If you stuck out b'di'evet your third finger or your thumb, the third finger we count, but the gudel we don't count. Not just that, if a person went and he stuck at his thumb, he ended up chapping patch bipakil. We'll see what that means in a minute. But what's the Gemara's kasha? The kasha is it sounds a little bit vim hoitzi sholish moinim life. You stuck out your third finger, it counts. Meaning, this is a second finger that you counted, you stuck out, and it sounds like we counted as a second finger. Point is, this person, the way the Gemara is understanding the Braisa, even though it's very unclear the Braisa, but we're understanding that you stuck out one finger, and then in addition to that, there was a Shalish, and the Hamamina is that we counted them as two, so it's a Mefurish Braisa that we count them as two, but the Gemara says, no, that's not a Mefurish Braisa. Maybe what it means when we say we count is one. Bottom line is, you're not allowed to stick out your thumb. Not just that, if you do, we don't count the B'di'evet, nishnor dem, elo shaloikim min hamamuna. So you don't count as part of the minion, you are disqualified from this gyro. Not just that, the memuna would hit you with a pakia. What is this pakia? Rav said madra. My madra? Rapapa. Rapapa said metarka de tai. So this was something that people used to use as a whip. Specifically, the Arab merchants would whip their animals with this. The psik reshe. So it was solid at its front, but then when it came towards the top, it separated to a whole bunch of different pieces. This was some whip that the Olam was familiar with back then. The Mamuna had this. This was one of his tricks. And in the event that somebody was caught trying to cheat on this pious, they would whip him. Amar Abaye, Abaye's Mareisha Vamina, I used to say, all the time, Ben Biboy of Mesech the Shkolim fame was Mamuna ala Pekiya. He was Mamuna on the Pekiya. He was in charge of the Pekiya. So when the Mishnah over there, Mesech the Shkolim, is discussing all the different people that were in charge of different things. So Ben Biboy was Mamuna on the Pekiya. I used to think, what did it mean, Psilta? He was in charge of the Pesilois, of the whips. What was the shteller of wicks? Kedetnan, it's a Mishnah. Mebaloi michnase akoyhanim, umehem yoneim, mehenoi mafkiim, behen umeha madlikin. The worn out clothing that the kayhanim had, that weren't roy anymore to be worn, as big dekuno. So there were people that would tear it up and they would use it as wicks for fire. So there was a whole shteller. Someone had to be in charge of this. This was a shtickle operation. Sabaya said that, I know there's a Mishnah in Shkolim, Bembi boy is Mamuna lapkiya. I always assume the word pekiya is miloshin mafkiin of that Mishnah. Regarding the baloi michnasei akoyhanim, the worn out big day kuna, that's what the shtelo was. Give me the shemana all the time. But then I heard this braiso. V'loy oy dala shaloikim and amemuna bepekia. Amina my pekia nagda. Then I heard this braiso that if someone sticks his thumb out as part of the girdle, he gets whipped with the pekia. I said, oh, that must be what the pekia is. This was the person that was in charge of the whips. Maisa shayushneim shavin v'rotzim v'oylim v'kevish. So the Mishnah said barushayna. The way the Trumas Hadeshin was determined was there was a race. It was first come, first serve. Whoever got there first, he got to do it. What if there was a tie? Then they made a gyro. But then the Gemara says, because of a maisa shahaya kachaya, they changed this minig. And the maisa was, where there were two people, they were running up the ramp, one person pushed his friend, the person fell, and he broke his foot. Chamim saw that it came with a sakana, they made a takana, no more races, ela. The way we're going to do it is bepayas with a gyro. So the Mishnah told one story. The Gemara now is going to bring a braisa that's going to tell another story, a way more dramatic story. Tanu Rabbanan. Maisa, there was a story. There were two kayhanim. They were running and they were literally neck to neck in terms of who's going to be first. Who's going to be the one that's going to make it within four amis of the top of the Mizbech? Who's going to be the one that's going to be Zaycha for the Trumas HaDeshen? For Oylem Bekevesh, Kodem Echam Yemel Teich Arba Amis Al Chaveri. One person got to within his friend's Dalet Amis, not Al Sakin. He took out a knife, V'tokaloi Beliboy, and he literally stabbed his friend. Amid Rab Tzadik. So Rab Tzadik was a tzadik, was there. He went on Mailas Ulam, on the steps of the Ulam. The Amar, he said, Achenu Beis Yisrael. Shimu, listen, Hare Yoimer, it says in the Torah, Ki Yimotze Chalub Adomar, Asher Hashem Alekecha, Noisa Lechol Erishto. And then it says, V'yotzus Keinecha V'shoif Techa. There's a halacha that if you find a dead body, it's in between two cities, and you don't know which city it's closest to. So you measure, and whichever city it ends up being closest to, does Keinim and the Shoiftim of that city go, and they bring an Egla Rufa to be Mechapra on this person that died. So Rab Tzadik said, this just happened. Happened in our city. It happened in our midst. It happened in the Azara. Anu amila havi egla arufa. So who should bring the egla arufa? Aloyer? Should Yerushalayim bring it? Oyo al Azaris? Should the Azara bring it? Now the Gemara is going to say later, this was a rhetorical question. There was no havamina that anyone should bring an egla arufa, and he wasn't looking for an answer. But what he was looking to do was to show the oilon in his inspirational way why that just happened. And go call on bepchia. Everybody started crying. But the father of the child came, and he saw that he was still alive. Amar, say he yelled out, he said, Hareu kaparaschem, va'adayim b'ni mefarfer, v'loy nitma asaken. So he told the oilam, he said that my son is still alive, which means that the sakin didn't become tummy tumas meis yet from being in contact with this child. So he said, quickly grab the sakin. Like this, the sakin won't be tame. Zok de Gemara, an incredible reaction from a father. L'lametcha, what do we see from here? Shekosha leim tairis kelim yoysim shvichas dame. That they took tairis kelim more seriously than they did shvichas dame. Chenu oimer. And there's a precedent for this, because the pasuk says, and this is a malachim beis, v'gam dam noki shofach menasha harbe ma'oid, adash amileis Yerushalayim, Pelepe. You see, there was so much dam noki in the times of Menashe. Now the Ritva asks that Menashe lived during Bayis Rishon. This story happened during Bayis Sheni. So what's the shaykhis between, in the times of Menashe, there was so much bloodshed, and over here, this story, says, once Menashe was pirate together, so stark during Bayis Rishon with Shvichas Damim, they remained Shvichas Damim during Bayis Sheni. Bottom line is, this is the second story. So the first story is, there were two Kayanim that were vying for the Trumas Hadesh, and one person ended up falling, pushed him, and he broke his foot. The second story is, a person took out a knife, he stabbed his friend. The bottom line is it's because of these two stories that they were mevato the race for the Trumas Hadesh. So the Gemara asks Akasha, "Hai Maisa Kodem, Akasha of Amaisa." Right? Which story happened first? Ilem the Shvichas Damim. Did the story of Shvichas Damim happen first? The Braisa, Hashta Shvichas Damim Leitakino Paisa, Anishba Rag Leitakino. Does it make sense? Somebody stabbed his friend, and the Chachamim looked the other way, and then somebody broke his foot, and then they made the Takon El Anishba Rag Leitakino. So you have to say that the first story happened first. Vekino Leitakino Paisa, Arba Amis Mayav Detayu. The problem is, if the Nishbar Raglai story happened first, the Mishnah said Mefurish, they made a girl. So if they made a girl, said, how did this story even happen? Right? We know for sure after the first story, or after the story of Nishbar Raglai, they instituted the girl. So it's not Mash, but this story could have happened after that. And if it happened before, why wouldn't they have instituted the girl after this story? You have to say the Brisa happened first. But for whatever reason, they chose not to institute any girl. They didn't make any takanas. They let it slide. Why? Because when Mikara suffered, they thought Akrai Ba'almahu. This must have been a fluke. Meaning, this is never going to happen again. It happened, but they decided they're going to look away. Even the Chazal, that feel of also they sakana. Then they saw something else happen. Now that something else that happened was more incidental. It was Memela, the Gemara says. And it wasn't nearly as serious as far as the ramifications go. But at the same time, they realized that this is dangerous. So the Kinu Rabbanon Paisa, so that's where Rabbanon went, and they decided that they're going to make a girl. So Omer Rabtzadik Amayla Se'ulon. So the Braisa Rabtzadik got up after this happened, and he stood on the steps of the Ulan for Amar, and he said, "Achenu beis Yisrael, Shemu, listen. Ari Omer says in Turkey, Matzachalu ba'adamo, Anana milahavi. So who should bring the egla rufa? Aloir, should the city bring it? Ayal Azara, should Azara bring it? Faith the Gemara. What did Rab Tzadik mean? He really was debating who should bring the egla rufa. Like for sure, there's going to be an egla rufa. We just have to determine who's going to bring it. Yerushalayim bas Yisui egla rufi. Is Yerushalayim even a basas?" Egla Rufa, Vatani went into the Brisa. Sorry, to remember Yerushalayim. There were 10 halachas that were said regarding Yerushalayim. Vizu achas man, and this is one of them. Eina mevia Egla Rufa. Yerushalayim never has an Egla Rufa. So what was Rav Tzadik Shaila? Oh, not just that. Loi noida mi ko. The only time you bring an Egla Rufa is if you don't know who the murderer is. Vahanoida mi ko. Over here we know who the Ritzeach was. Elas Achti Gemara. Rav Tzadik never meant this seriously. He meant this rhetorically. Kindei laharbis bepriya. He was just trying to give a gut wrenching speech, and he wanted the Olam to understand there's a musig of Egla Rufa, and if we would apply the principles of Egla Rufa, Yerushalayim Dazara would bring an Egla Rufa. Could you imagine that the blame of what happened is going to fall on the doorstep of Dazara and of Yerushalayim? That was the point he was trying to bring out, and that was what Rav Tzadik meant. But he never had a havamina that there actually should be an Egla Rufa. Another point as it relates to the Braisa, Ba'av of Shaltinek, the father of the Tinek came, Umatzek Shum Afarfer. He saw he was Mafarfer. Omer, he said, Hareyu Kaparaschem, Vadayim Benikai. He said, my son is still alive. We can still save the knife. Ulametcha, and the Braisa commented, Shekosh Aleim Tyrus Kalem, Yosem Shvichas Damim. You see, they took Tyrus Kalem more seriously than Shvichas Damim somehow was fine. But in the heat of the Shvichas Damim, they're worried about Tyrus Kalem. So the Gemara asks a question, Shvichas Damim, who the Zil, Aval Tyrus Kalem, Kidakaima Kaima. So it's clear Tyrus Kalin was more serious than Shvichas Damim, but it could have been in one of two ways. Either they took Tyrus Kalin so seriously, I mean, they understood Shvichas Damim's chamer. Now, there was Ritzicha, okay, but Avada they took it seriously, but they took Tyrus Kalin that much more seriously. Or maybe to the contrary. Oiduma Shvichas Damim kidekai mekai, but Tyrus Kalin with the chamer, right? Those two tzadim. So the Gemara Toshma, it's midikon nasav la Talmudo. There's a riot from the Brisa itself because the Brisa brought a pasuk. The gam dam naki shafach Menashe. And what do you see from the pasuk that Menashe had been reckless with shvichas damim, and it resulted in there being a lot of shvichas damim carried over into the second base hamikdash, like the Ritva said. Shma mino shvichas damim hu dezil u tyrus kalem kidekaima kaima must be tyrus kalem. No, Tyrus kalem was tyrus kalem. But for whatever reason, shvichas damim was something that was very cool. Just two ha'aris before we learn the last Gemara, and that is number one. I saw Rav Ruvim Margolis in the Netzayt Seyar. He says, Ba aviv shel tinoik. This kain wasn't a tinoik. He couldn't have been a tinoik. A tinoik can't do the avoida. You have to be bar mitzvah to be able to do the avoida. could be you have to be 20 al pi zayir to do the avodah. You have to be married to do the avodah. Adam ki akrav mikem, and someone that's not married is a plag adam, says the zayir. But he certainly couldn't be a tinoik. A child can't do the avodah. So Reuven Margolis said that what's this ba aviv shel tinoik? So he says something very emotional. He says that a father that's watching his son Nebuch bleed away, he says it doesn't matter how old the son is, but to him this is his tinoik. This is his little baby. And the gaguim of the father came out as ba aviv shel tinoik. He was older, he was an adult. Of course he was an adult. But in that moment, it was his tinoik. It was ba aviv shel tinoik. As it relates to the idea that this dar took Tairas Kalim more seriously than Shvichas Damim. So the maskan of the Gemara is that really it wasn't so much that they took Tairas Kalim so seriously, but it was more that they took Shvichas Damim not very seriously. But the truth is, we've mentioned this many times as we go through Daf Yomi, that there are many rais that people took Tumah V'Tahira very, very seriously. In fact, more seriously than many Gufei Halachas. Just a classic example of this is the very end of Masechtas Pesachim, where the Gemara says that the Chachamim made a takana that Pigel and Noiser are Metameh Sayadayim. Pigel and Noisa are very serious in the world of Kachem. But that insult to injury, they're also Tomei. They're also sources of Tomo. That Metamei say a dime. So if somebody touches Pigel, somebody touches Noisa, he becomes Tomei. So what's the Pshat? So the Gemara says, Noisa was Mishum Atzlei Kohuna, and Pigel was Mishum Chashdei Kohuna. Because there was always a concern that the Kohen would, for whatever reason, want to take some revenge. He wanted to be Noikin the Noiter on the Balakarbans. He would have a Machshavas Pigel. So Mishum Chashdei Kohuna, they said, you know what, if you make I have a machshavas pigul, you're going to be tummy. Oh, tummy? I don't want to be tummy. Pigul, leichashev, and all the krisos and everything that comes along with that, it seems somehow he's willing to deal with that. But tumma, that was something that was more serious. And noisa was the same thing. It was mishum atzlekuna. They were lazy kayanim. You're supposed to eat the basar. You're supposed to be makted a basar. But people get lazy. So to prevent the laziness, so leisoy siru mimenu ad biker, the leisa se vase, etc. That for some reason we're not so worried about. But oh, the tumma, that we're going to take seriously. It's not what our Gemara says. Our Gemara says that really Tairas Kalim was Kidekaima Kaima and Shvichas Damim was Hudazil. Zok the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. So the Gemara now is going to shift its attention a little bit from the Agadat the Gemara. It's going to return to the Agadat the Gemara soon, but a brief interruption, and we're going to talk about really the topic du jour. And that is the mitzvah of Trumas Adeshin. And the truth is, there were two mitzvahs. There was a mitzvah of Trumas Adeshin, and there was another mitzvah of Hoytzos Adeshin. We'll talk more about this in tomorrow's daf. But for now, it says in the Torah that every single morning, the very first avodah, a kohen, whether Barishoyne, he was the first one to make it to the top of the Mizbeach, or later, after the Takana, he won the Goyrel, he would take a shovel, he would walk to the top of the Mizbeach, a shovel full, we'll see what the shear is in tomorrow's daf, he would bring it down the ramp, for some yates on Mizbeach. He would place it next to, it was a spot next to the Mizbeach, where a lot of the Deshen was placed. The Deshen of the Mizbeach Achitzin, that's what we're talking about, the Deshen of the Mizbeach Apnimi, the Deshen of the Menorah, the Murad, the Nutzah, it was all placed in one designated spot, that's where it was. But in addition to that, there was another mitzvah. And that mitzvah was the mitzvah of Hoytzos Adeshin. So what was the mitzvah of Hoytzos Adeshin? It's a separate mitzvah. It's me'inyin le'inyin ba'oise inyin, but it's not the same mitzvah. That mitzvah was that what was done with the rest of the Deshin? I mean, a little bit of Deshin, the mitzvah of Trumas Adeshin was done with. But what about all the rest of the Deshin? There was a lot of Deshin, a lot of Gecholim, there was a lot of ashes. So it was placed in an area on the Mizbeach known as the Tapuach. That would pile up at some point. And every now and again, it would be cleared out. Kayanim would come with shovels, they would clear it out. And there was a Kayan whose job it was to take it away. And that mitzvah of taking away the Deshin was what's known as Vahoytzias Adeshin. The Pasuk says, Upashat es begadam, the Kayan would remove his clothing. Vilavash begadam achem, he'd put on new clothing. This Pasuk is going to be the topic of the last few minutes of the daf. Vahoytzias Adeshin mechutz l'machne, he would take the Deshin outside of the machne, outside of Yerushalayim, el makom tar, to a holy place, and that's where he would leave it. So again, we're talking about the mitzvah to be Moytzias Adeshin, not to be confused with the mitzvah of Trumas Adeshin. So Zok the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, it says that the Koyin that was Moitzi the Deshin was Upashad Es Begadav, he removed his clothing, Filavich Begadav Acherim, and he put on new clothing. Moitzi Es Adeshin, and then he was Moitzi the Deshin. Zok the Gemara, Shemei Anik Derech Yom Kippurim, I would think that when we say he took off his clothing, obviously took off his big tikkun, that's what we mean, and he's putting on new clothing. So what does it mean, new clothing? Probably similar to what the Kohen Gadol did when he took off his clothing on Yom Kippur, and he put on new clothing. What did he do? Shapoish big dekodesh, he would take off his big dekodesh, v'loivish big dekhal, and he would put on big dekhal. Now just to be clear, because it's very easy to make a mistake in this gemara, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur used to change clothing. Every time he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he put on big deylavan, he came out, depending on which avodah did, he put on his big days off. So he went back and forth, he changed many times between the big day Kodesh and the big day Kohuna, the Shmoyna Begadim, and the big day Lavan. Both sets of clothing that the Kohen Gadol wore were big day Kodesh. They were all big day Kohuna. Some were Shmoyna Begadim, and some were what were known as the big day Lavan. But the point is that it was a different set of clothing that he was changing from. He was taking off one set of clothing, and he was putting on a completely different set of clothing. The big day lavan versus the shmayin of begad. The Gemara is assuming that when we say that this kohen that was mitzi the dashin was pashat as begadov, for love is begadov achem. It's dumi to the kohen gadol. He took off one set of clothing, put on another set of clothing. What's this other set of clothing? Now we're talking about a kohen hedya, regular kohen. This is parshas sav. It's a regular day in the Beis Hamikdash. The kohen hedya doesn't have two sets of clothing. All he has is the big day kohuna. He doesn't have anything else. What must the begadov achem mean? It's probably big day chayil. So talk to Gemara again. The brayso pashat. He took off his begadim v'lavish begadim acherim v'itzi esadesh shemei ani kiderich yom kippurim. There's a precedent for changing clothing. That's the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Now, what did the Kohen Gadol do on Yom Kippur? He changed to a completely different set of clothing, different type of clothing, from shmoyne begadim to dalo big day lavan. Also, must be the Kohen Hedya did the same thing. Shapoyt a big day kodesh v'lavish big day cha. What do you mean by the Kohen Gadol? When he did it, he went from Big Day Kodesh to Big Day Kodesh. That's because he had two sets of Big Day Kodesh. Kohen Hedya doesn't have two sets of Big Day Kodesh. So if you're changing clothing and it's going to be different, it must be, the difference will be the Kedusha. It's going to be Big Day Kodesh, Big Day Kodesh, because there is no other difference. But Zakhti Gemara, that's the Hav Aminu Talmud. Leimu Pasha, that's Begadav, the Lavash Begadim Acherim. Begadim Acherim, Makish Begadim Shalavish, Begadim Shapoisha. We compare the Begadim that he was wearing to the Begadim that he's taking off, Begadim Big Day Kodesh, just like the clothing he's taking off of the Big Day Kodesh. So to the ones he's going to put on are going to be Big Day Kodesh. So what's Acherim mean? He's switching from Big Day Kodesh to Big Day Kodesh. First of all, what's the point? And besides, what does Acherim mean? It sounds like they were different. Yeah, they were of a lesser quality. So every Kohen had two sets of clothing. Why not? Maybe more. And they get dirty, so it's, right, makes sense. So some were better, some were worse. So he would put on his most inferior set of clothing when it came time to be Moitzi the Deshin. So his best clothing that he wore when he was doing the Mochash of Avodis. But when he was Moitzi as HaDeshin, he would put on the lesser clothing. Rabbi Eliezer has a different drasha. He says, when it says Acherim, you know what it means? V'lovish begadim Acherim. Acherim is going on the next word v'hoitzi. Limid ala kohanim balimumim k'sherim l'hoitzi as HaDeshin. Rabbi Eliezer said a big chiddush. It's going to be the topic of the beginning of tomorrow's daf, and that is that a kohen that's a bal mum is allowed to be moitzi the dashin. The way we darshin is acherim v'hoitzi. Even someone that's an acher, someone that's usually on the outside looking in, someone that's not in a position where he's able to do the avodah, but when it comes to the mitzvah being moitzi as hadashin, that he's allowed to. Amar mar acherim p'chusa mehem. The Tanakhama said, what does Acherim mean? It means Big Day Kodesh, Avadi will Big Day Kodesh, but of a lesser quality. Zok the Gemara, if somebody cooked something for his Rebbe, when he serves the food that he cooked, he should change his clothing, because the clothing that he cooked in is probably going to be dirty. So it's in that same vein, that's this idea, that the same Begadim that the Kohen is using to do the Avadah should not be the Begadim that the Kohen is going to use when it comes time to be moitzi es ha-deshen. So just to end with one ha'ara related to yesterday's daf. So yesterday's daf, Yuma Daf Chav Beis, is a classic daf in the world of Agadita. And we spoke about the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis. Mipnei maloi nimshecha malchus beishal, mipnei shaloi hoyeba shum doifi. Da amir Rab Yoichan amishum Rab Shimon ben Yoitzadik, eim amidin parnes ala tzibur, elim ken kupesh al shuatzen, tluyo loy meyachar. A classic Gemara. But the truth is another classic Gemara on the Afchav Beis Amid Beis. And that's Amar Rafuna. Rafuna said, Kamaloi choli v'loi margish gavad amari say. A person that has siyata d'shmaya, he speared so many things. He's loi choli, he's loi margish. There's nothing like siyata d'shmaya. Because when a person has siyata d'shmaya, he's loi choli v'loi margish. Says the Gemara, how do you know that? What's exhibit A? Said Rafuna, Shol ba'achas v'osoloi. Shol did one avera v'osoloi. And because of the one avera that he did, he lost the melucha. David b'shtahim, David did two averas, v'loy al-salay, and he didn't lose the melucha. Shaul did one avera, the mice of Agag. Shmuel told Shaul he should destroy Amalek, Agag, the men, the women, the children, the animals, and Shaul had rachmanis on the children, he had rachmanis on the animals, he had rachmanis on Agag. The bottom line is, Shaul did not do what he was supposed to do, and Hashem came to Shmuel, and he told him, nimlachti, nichamti kimlachti, Shaul, I have a karota that I appointed Shaul to be Melech Yisrael, and he loses the melucha. Why? Because of one avera that he did. David HaMelech did two averas. David HaMelech played a role in the death of Uriah HaChiti. David HaMelech counted Klal Yisrael. The Gemara mentions other things as well. But Shaul did one avera for Osoloi, and he lost the whole melucha. David b'shtayim, David did two averas for Loi Osoloi. What's the difference? Shaul did one, David did two. Does it make sense that David keeps the melucha, the agami, the two averas, and Shaul loses the melucha for doing one? So that's where Rav Huna's comment was. So clearly, this cheshbon is said Rav Huna, and that's the point that he was trying to make, that David had a certain siyata deshmaya that Shaul didn't have. But the truth is, hagufa kasha. What's pshat? What's the pshat? Where's the din v'dayin? Shaul does one avera, he loses the melucha. David did two and he didn't lose the melucha. Now tell me, maybe Shaul's one avera was worse? Doesn't sound that way from the Gemara. Because to the contrary, that's the whole point of the Gemara. The Gemara says, you see, there's no cheshbon. Because Shaul did one and l'chura, David's two was worse. And still David kept the melucha and Shaul didn't. So the truth is, the Vilna Gaon asks this kasha. The Vilna Gaon is in his Pirush on Mishlei. It's Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Zayin. And it's on the Pasuk, Chanoich Lanar Al Pi Dargoy. Gam ki yaskin lo yosem imena. Says the Vilna Gaon, O Yisoyden Chinuch. He says that Shlomo HaMelech didn't simply say, Chanoich Lanar, you should be mechanech your child. But he said, Chanoich Lanar Al Pi Dargoy. He said, a father has a responsibility to understand the derech, to understand the nature of his child, and he should be mechanech his child based on what his child's nature is. And if he does that, gam ki yaskin lo yosem imena, then he'll be matzliach that when the child gets older, lo yosem imena, all the chinuch and all the koiches that the father put into the child is going to end up lasting. Says the Vilna Gaon, what does this mean? So he says, I'll explain it to you with a Gemara Masechtas Shabbos, daf kuf nun vav amid aleph. To the very, very end of Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara over there is talking about mazalos. And the Gemara says, depending on what mazal, what astrological phenomenon a person is born under, that's going to determine what this person is going to be. So the Gemara, Hayman de b'madin, if someone is born during the hour of Mars, yehi gever oshe dama. He's going to be a person that's going to spill blood. Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, what does that mean? It means one of three things. Iyumana, maybe he's going to become a doctor. A doctor is in the presence of blood. Iganava, maybe he's going to be a ganav, where Baba Machteres, sometimes he's in the presence of blood. Imayala, or maybe he's going to end up being a mayal. But the point is, someone that's born b'mazal madal is going to be either an uman or a ganav, or he's going to be a tabach. Said the Vilna Gaon, it's mavur in this Gemara, that if a person's born b'mazal madal, there's no way out. Meaning, he is going to be someone that's going to spill blood. The only question is, how? And in what way? And in what context? And whose blood is he going to spill? And what are the ramifications going to be? Is he going to be a ganav? Is he going to be a doctor? He's going to be a shoychet? He's going to be a mayel? That is his bechira. That's something that he has a right to decide. But in terms of the fact that he's going to be someone that's going to spill blood, that's actually outside of the realm of his bechira. Because that's who he is. That's his mazel. He was born b'madim, and because he was born b'madim, yehei gaber ashadama, said the Vilna Gaon, that this Gemara is just a mashal of the idea that every single person is born with certain tchunas hanefesh. And he says it's impossible for a person to overcome his tchunas hanefesh. He says he can't do it. He says it is impossible. That's what he says. So what's chinuch? He says chinuch is for the father and the mother and the Rabbein to try to understand the tchunas hanefesh of this child and to work within the framework of that tchunas hanefesh. And he said, that's what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said, Chanoich l'nar al pi darkoi. He says, you have to understand the derech of the child. Because if you understand the derech of the child, gam ki yaskim l'yosem imenu, then you're going to be matzliach. He said, because if not, ki ha'odom e'ef shaloi lish bar darkoi. There's no way, says the Vilna Gaon, for a person to change his derech. He says at the end, he says that a father can get a child to do anything he wants. You use shock and awe, you use fear, it's It's not a very difficult thing to do. He says, but you know when you know whether you're being matzliach or you're not being matzliach? He said, when the child gets older. See, he says that if a person is mechanech his child, but he doesn't work within the confines of his mazel and of his teva and of his derech, he says in the short term, you'll be very, very matzliach in the short term. He says, your child's going to listen to everything you say. Why? Because he's going to have yira. Aval achakach, when he gets older, be'es yusar ulcha me'al tzavare. When you're old, when your yoke is going to be off his neck, yasser mizeh, it's going to be over with. Why? Ki efshalei l'shaber mazalei. Because what you asked him to do was not tenable. It wasn't something that he was able to do. So he says, the only way the chinuch could have a kiyum is if it's alpi darkes, enochamol. Says the Vilna Gaon, a father can be mechanech a child however he wants. He can get him to do anything. But if you want it to be l'tayeles, if you want it to last, if you want it to be gam ki yaskin lo yosem imeno, it has to be chanoich lanar alpi darkes. So says the Gaon, chanoich lanar alpi darkes, gam ki yaskin lo yosem imeno. So this is a classic Vilna Gaon. It's a long piece. And Toich Dvarev, says the Vilna Gaon, that with this yisoid, we can understand the Gemara. Almost a medrash pliya. A Gemara mesachtes yuma daf chav beis amid beis. Where the Gemara said that Amar Rav Huna, Shol Ba'achas, Shol did one Avera, and he lost the Malucha. David Bishtayim, David did two Averas, and he kept the Malucha. And the question is why? How is that even fear? Why is it fear that David did double the amount of Chet, and yet he maintained the Malucha? So says the Vilna Gaon, V'ho'in Yinhu, Ki B'David Nemar, regarding David it says, V'hu Ad Maini. You have to be the Vilna Gaon to say what? The Vilna Gaon is about to say. David HaMelech was at Moini. What does it mean? The Huben Madin. He means that Gemara we just mentioned. Shabbos Daf Kufnun Vav Amid Aleph. He was born by Mazel Madin. But Lekach, it's for that reason, Tal of Shmuel, the Yisrael classed upon him. Yishai, Shmuel, nobody thought that David had a chance to be the Melech Yisrael because they looked at him. They didn't just look at him. They looked at a shteren. They were able to understand his tchunas hanefesh. They understood he's b'mazal madim. They saw admoini. They saw someone that spills blood. They saw a warrior. How is he going to be the Melech Yisrael? How's Mashiach going to come from David? It's not possible. However, v'hu hever midoysav bakoil. But David HaMelech was maver al midoysav. V'av she'elu ha'shnayim lo'hiver. And he says, even though those two times, when it came to Uriachiti, and when it came to counting Klal Yisrael, he was a maver. But at the same time, so many times he was maver. And Chazal say, "Kol maver al midoysav, moichel al kol avinoysav." Yuma daf chav gimel amid aleph. But the David far har beit sadak lahaver al midoysav. David was maver al midoysav so many times, and every time he was maver al midoysav, it was moichel al kol avinoysav. I two times he slipped. So there were two times that he wasn't maver al midoysav. But appreciated David HaMelech, he's an admoini. He was born by Mazel Madin. He lived 70 years. So there were two times that he was nichshol. Masha'in came Shaul, said the Vilna Gaon. Shaul was different. Shenem Abay, it says regarding Shaul, ben Shana, Shaul b'molchay. As we saw in yesterday's daf and afchav beis. Shaul HaMelech was 1 year old. You know what it means? Keben Shana Shloi Tam Chet. He was like a 1 year old child. 1 year old child is not someone that overcame the Siyonis and Yetzirah, is not to do an Avay. A 1 year old child's a little baby. So of course, a 1 year old child didn't do Avera. But for whom heaven midosei hatoiv l'rabit avarechot. So when Shaul did an Avera, he had the nature of a 1 year old child, and he did an Avera. It was terrible. Listen to this line. V'lochein af ba'achas loy also loy. So says the Vilna Gaon that David Shaul HaMelech, had he had the tchunas hanefesh of David, he would have done. Actually, no. So says the Vilna Gaon that David be'achas. David did two Averis, he kept the Malucha. Shaul did one Averis, he lost the Malucha. What's the Tifkait? The Tifkait is Chanoich Lenar Alpi Darkoi. Because David and Shaul couldn't have been more different. David HaMelech was Admoini, and because he was Admoini, his Midos, his Tchunas HaNefesh was to be a Shoda Dhamma. And as a result, the fact that he didn't, at least for most of his life, that was considered a tremendous gvura, it was an accomplishment. The two times that he slipped, we looked away from that. And as a result, he didn't lose the malucha. But Shaul was conventional, and for Shaul it was different. This is a well-known Vilna Gaon. But I found, in Beis Medrash B'lei Chiddush, the Rechaim HaKadosh in Parshas V'zois HaBracha says the same exact thing, almost word for word, what the Vilna Gaon says. The Rechaim HaKadosh is on the Pasuk in the beginning of Parshas V'zois HaBracha. V'zois HaBracha, Asher Berach Moshe, Isho Elokim Es B'nei Yisrael Lefnei Moshe. And the Rechaim is telling on the Lashon Isho Elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu was an Isho Elokim. The truth is, the Medrash famously says, Isho Elokim was Moshe Rabbeinu an Ish, Oh, was Moshe Rabbeinu Alekim. So the Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu was Chetzio Ish and he was Chetzio Alekim. Mechetzio Ulamata, he was an Ish. Umechetzio Ulamayla, he was an Alekim. We once spoke out from a Maggid in Europe who wrote a Sefer that Reb Chaim Briska gave Haskama. Briska, they say the Reb Chaim never gave Haskamas on Divrei Agada. Why? He said to give Haskama on a Sefer and Lomdus, so that's something that's okay. Why? Because at the end of the day, let's say you made a mistake. Let's say the person got the Lomdus wrong. Okay, it's not the end of the world. No Churban's going to come from saying the wrong Pshat in a Rajva. He said, but if in Agada, when it comes to Hashkafa, that's already a little more dangerous. Reb Chaim used to never give Haskama, but there was one Sefer he gave Haskama. That Sefer, he says that we know that there's such a tumult, nobody can figure out what the chet of the Mei Meriva was, right? It's the biggest confusion. Why not? See, right, the reason is because the chet of the Mei Meriva happened in the chetzio lemaila shel Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu mi chetzio lemaila was a malach. And in the malach we have no asaga, and that's why Chazal had no asaga in the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu. Dvarim the fun. But that's the Pashup Pshat. Isho alikim, mechetzio lamata ish, mechetzio lamayla alikim. But Arachayim HaKadosh says different Pshatim. He said, oit nischavim b'mayim rezeh lahoyod olav. That the Pasuk is coming to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was an ish. Moshe Rabbeinu reached tremendous milas and tremendous madregas. You would say, why did Moshe Rabbeinu reach these madregas? Oh, probably because he was born that way. He says, you know what the Torah is coming to say? Loi hoyo elo litzad yirosoy me'alaykov. Loi shahoyo tivoy misayeyo yaladovar. It had nothing to do with his teva. Moshe Rabbeinu's teva wasn't to be an ish. The reason Moshe Rabbeinu was an ish was because he was an ish ho'elaykin. It was because of his Yerushalayim. And his Yerushalayim is what made him into an ish. Ka'om ramzal yuma davchav deizamir aleph. Shol ba'achas va'osoloi, David b'shtayim v'loi osoloi. Ki shol hoya mitivay mazuk, v'loi hoya chamumar litois. Ulezeh ba'achas she'shokak, yotzasam imenu ha'malucho. Because lefi tivay misharin, we're mishayir a person based on his nature, based on his teva. But David HaMelech's teva was an edmoini. So listen to the punchline that I thought I remembered seeing in the guy. The Arachayim says it. Because says the Arachayim, shim hoya ki tivay shol David edmoini, had shol ha'melech had the teva of David, hoya ois David Eser Yodos. He would have did 10 times what David HaMelech did. You have to be the Arachayim to say that. But that's what he said. So says the Arachayim, Moshe Rabbeinu, Beteva, was he Shaul? Was he Kiben Shana Balechet? Or was he David? Was he Admoini? Said the Arachayim, he was David. He was Admoini. And where do you see that? You see that in this pasuk. V'zoisa brocha sheberach Moshe ish ha'elokim es b'nei Yisrael lefnei Moshe. He was an ish, but only because of ha'elokim. Because of his Yerushalayim. It was because he shtayiged. It was because of his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he became an ish. But if not for the ha'elokim, he wouldn't have even been an ish. Because by nature, he was somebody that was an admoini. The Tiferes Yisrael in an art brings a medrash. This is a well-known / controversial medrash. But the medrash says that there was a king that once hired an artist to go see Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar and to draw a painting of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he went to Moshe Rabbeinu and he draws a painting, and he came back and the astrologers looked at the painting and they said, this person's a thief, this person's a ganav, this person's a reitzeach, this person is a shreklecha person, he's an admoini, he's b'mazel nadin. And they said, this can't be the leader of the Jews. And what was nispar afterwards is that that's who Moshe Rabbeinu was mitzat tivay. Moshe Rabbeinu mitzat tivay. Reb Shul Leib Diskin in a place, I think he brings this, the Pharisee Yisrael, and he says that it can't be, because the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ma Hashem shoyel mimcha kiyam liyiro, is he afraid the Gemara, v'chi yira milsa zutrasi, what year is a milsa? So the Gemara says, in legabi Moshe, milsa zutrasi. So I said, Rabbi Shul Leib, it's a mefurish Gemara, that yira for Moshe was a milsa zutrasi. It wasn't such a big deal, but it's a mefurish arachayim. This Yisoy, doesn't mean this Medrash, but this Yisoy is a Mefurish Arachayim. With Arachayim HaKadosh says, V'zoy Sabroch HaShaberach Moshe Isho Elikim. He was an Ish, but he was only an Ish because he was an Elikim. But just to end, Me'inyan Le'inyan, with one last note, and that is that the Gemara says, in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, it's a very, very well-known Gemara. We all know the story of Yeravam Ben Avot. Yeravam Ben Avot, after Shlomo HaMelech passed away, he challenged Rechavam, who was Shlomo's son, for the Malucha. He went after him. Eventually, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael was divided into two groups, Yehuda and Binyamin, and they were under the governance of Rechavam ben Shlomo. And until Churban Beis HaMikdash, all the Malchi Beis David, and Yeravam ben Avot, he became the Melech Yisrael. He became the Melech of the other 10 Shvatim. Yeravam ben Avot was a big tzaddik. But Yeravam ben Avot had a big Yerida. He had such a yerida that the Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael yesh lo mechelik v'olam haba. But then you read the fine print, ve'elu she'en lo mechelik v'olam haba. And one of the people that don't have chelik v'olam haba is none other than Yeravim ben Avot. So what was Yeravim ben Avot's chet? Why did he lose his chelik in olam haba? So the Gemara says, because when the Yidin came to be oil regel, Yeravim didn't want them to come. So what he did was, he said that you want to be oil regel, you're going to pay a toll. But the toll is going to be, you're going to have to bow down to Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah were agolim, he was maimed agolim. For the oily regalim, it was a remez, ben benoishal remez to the egel of the cheta egel. And he forced the yidin to worship the egel. So the Gemara says, Yeravim was a chayti umachti as a rabbin. And because he was chayti umachti as a rabbin, he lost his chelik in olam haba. And he goes down in the Mishnah that even though kol yisrael yesh lam chelik olam haba, there are a few exceptions to the rule. And Yeravim ben Avot is one of the exceptions to the rule. The Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, this is in the heart of Perek Chelik, Daf Kuf Beizam and Aleph. Zok the Gemara, Achar Hadover Hazeh, Loishav Yeravim midarkoi hara. After even this, Yeravim didn't do tshuva. Zok to my Achar, what's that referring to? Amreb Abreb Abbasah. Achar Shetofse HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeravim Bigdai. It means after HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Yeravim and he grabbed him by the lapels. Va'amalai, and he told him, Chazor Bach, Yeravim, Ich Beitech. I'm pleading with you, do tshuva. And if you do, Va'ani, Va'ata, U'ben Yishai, Netai, B'gan Eden. Me, and you, and Ben Yishai are going to be together in Gan Eden. Amaloi. See, Yeravim turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's holding Kaviyachol, Mamish, Tofsei Bebigdoi. He says, Mi Bereish? Who's going to be first? Me or David HaMelech? So he said, Ben Yishai Bereish. Ben Yishai is going to be first. So he said, Ihochi, if that's the case, Loi Be'ina. Then I'm not interested. And the Velt asks Akasha, Chaim Briska asks this Akasha, but the Velt asks Akasha, it's Gemara Zappella. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that if someone's chayti umachti as a rabbin, ain't must speak in the other last tshuva. That if you're a chayti umachti as a rabbin, we don't give you an opportunity to do tshuva. Yeravim ben Avot is the paradigm of chayti umachti as a rabbin. Literally, he's the picture. Exhibit A of chayti umachti as a rabbin is Yeravim ben Avot. He was maimed agolam lavoy dezara. Chazal in different places use Yeravim as the example of a chayti umachti as a rabbin. If a chayti umachti as a rabbin, they must speak in the other last tshuva. What's pshat in this Gemara? HaKadosh Baruch who came to Yeravim and he said, Chazor b'cho, do tshuva, v'ani v'ato ben Yishai, netayel b'gan Eden. What's the pshat? It's a pella. He's the example, he's the prototypical, literally, exhibit A of chayt yumachti as a rabbin, chayt yumachti as a rabbin, he must speak in the other last tshuva, and here the Eibush is giving Yeravim ben Avot an opportunity to do tshuva. So I heard years ago, b'shem one of the greatest of Balei Musa, I think it was Rav Itzala, but the name of one of the Balei Musa, he said it's true, chayt yumachti as a rabbin, he must speak in the other last tshuva. But at the same time, there's a musig of shol ba'achas and David Rishtayim. At the same time, there's a musig that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the person kifi Tivoy, umazoloi, umizgoy hara. Hashem looks, are you an admoini? Are you a keben shonabal oichet? That's all factored into consideration. What was the aveira of Yeravim ben Avot? The aveira of Yeravim ben Avot, the Sfarim, it's a Gemara, was gaiva. What was the gaiva? Because Yeravim ben Avot was a melech, but Rechavim and Shlomo was also a melech. The different ones, Rechavim was the melech of Malchus Beis David. Yeravim was the melech Yisrael. The Yidden were going to be either regal, and when they were going to walk in there, we're going to see Rechavim sitting, and they were going to see Yeravim standing. And the reason is, we have raid on this, because in Yeshiva Bazara, Elul Malchi Beis David Bulvat. So they were going to walk in, and they were going to see Rechavim sitting and Yeravim standing. And the gaiva of Yeravim didn't allow this. He said, "What? What's going to be? They're going to walk in, they're going to see that I'm standing, and Rechavim sitting. What's that going to mean? It's going to mean that Rechavim's better than me." And it was because of his gaiva, his redivas HaKovid, that he said, forget about it, I'm not letting the Jews be Oilei Regel. Let them just not come. Like this, they're not going to know about it. How am I going to get them not to come? The Yidden are going to come. I'll say they have to be Oilei Avodah Zarah. They understand. You can't be worship the Egel to come to. So like this was his ploy. It was his strategy to get the Yidden not to come. But what was at the root of it? At the root of it was Gaiva. The Mesillas Yesharim in Perek Yud Aleph said, when he talks about Chemdas HaKovid, he said the worst taiva is Chemdas HaKovid. He talks about this taiva and that taiva. Yesera Olea Chemdas HaKovid, he says. The worst is Chemdas HaKovid. And then he says, so Valdovar Zeh Nichshulu Rabin V'Nevada, there were great men that had a tremendous yerida because of COVID. Number one, Hine, Yeravim ben Avot, Loi Nitrad Mi'ha'ilam Abba, Ela Bavur HaKovid. It was all about COVID. His whole yerida was about COVID. Yeravim ben Avot goes down as exhibit A of COVID. It's Yedua. The Reb Chaim Shmulevitz said, Hashem came to Yeravim and he told him, Chazor Bach, So what did Yeravim say? Amalei Liberosh, who's going to be first? So he told him Ben Yishai Berosh. So he said, Ihochi Loi Be'ina. So Chaim Shmulevitz said that if you medayik the Lashon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did Hashem say? Chazor Bach, Va'ani, me, Va'ato, and you and Ben Yishai in the title Ben Gan Eden. Me, you and Ben Yishai. So Chaim said, it sounds like that really Yeravim was supposed to be first. So if that's the case, how come when Yeravim said, Mi Berosh, did Abishah say Ben Yishai Berosh? So Chaim Shmulevitz said that when Yeravim asked the question, Mi Berosh, he lost the Madrega. He was still going to be able to be in the title of Gan Eden with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but now already Ben Yishai Berosh. But said Chaim Shmulevitz that if we could be Medayik the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Yeravim was also able to be Medayik the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he didn't chap when Abishah said, Chazor Bach Vani Ato Ben Yishai in the title of Gan Eden. So if he heard that he's going to be Rosh, why did he say Mi Berosh? So Chaim Shmulevitz said, that's good gehert. He said, but the Balgaiva wants to hear it again. He says, Nebachama, who's going to be first? He wanted to hear it again. Yeravim ben Avot, the root of his Avera, says the Mesillas Yesharim, Lo Nitrad Me'olam Abba El Abavar HaKovid. But he was born with a disproportionate Chemdes HaKovid. He was such an Admoini in terms of Chemdes HaKovid, that the Eibishter understood that all his Averas came from a Mida and a Tchuna that was very hard for him to overcome. So much so that the Eibishter said, he gets a mulligan. Even though he's exhibit A for Chayti Umachti as a Rabbim, but Maspikim B'yodei Lasas Shuva. We're going to give him a chance. Chazor Bach, Vaniu V'ato Ben Yishai Netayel B'gan Eden. Why? Because it was understood that the Taiva, the Kovin, you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Azak Kovin, Azak Gaiva, and that's who he was by nature. And because that's who he was by nature, so it's for that reason the Eibishter looked away. But the point is that Shol Ba'acha, Shol did one Avera, he lost the Malucha. David B'shtayim, he didn't lose the Malucha. What's the Pshat? The Pshat is because Shol and David weren't the same person. And the way it works for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges man, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges his kindalach, he doesn't say, you did one Avera, you did two Averas, Memela, you're better and you're worse, and that's the end of it. It doesn't work that way. David HaMelech was an Admoini, and David was Kiven Shana B'Leched, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he judges a person, it's Alpi Darkoi. It's Alpi Darkoi, Alpi Mazoloi, Alpi Tivoi. And that's why even Yeravim and Avot, who was Chayt Yomachtis Rabbim, and ordinarily Ema speak Miyodei Lasis Shuvah, but for Yeravim and Avot, we're going to make an exception. And the Vilna Gaon was Megalatos, that even though, of course, this is all on the Eibishter level, which we have no Asog in, but at the same time, it is something, said the Vilna Gaon, that we can have a little bit of a Shaychis to. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said, Chanoich Lenar Alpi Darkoi. It's not enough to be Chanoich Lenar. If a person is going to be Chanoich Lenar with one very broad stroke, then God, it could work in the short term. There could be a Yiras Einish, not Yiras Einish of the Eibishter, but Yiras Einish of the father and the mother and everything else. But at the same time, Gam Ki Yaskin Lo Yasim Imenu, that only works if it's Chanoich Lenar Alpi Darkoi, Kenir, it's something that we have a little bit of a Shaychis to. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said, Chanoich Lenar Alpi Darkoi, Gam Ki Yaskin Lo Yasim Imenu.